How did I become a switcher? Because I got tired of just trying to make my computer work. I had a PC and it never worked. Couldn't do video. I couldn't do audio. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't even find anybody who knew what piece of cable I needed to go from the camera to the computer. I had one guy tell me that's what they do in Hollywood. That's not the kind of stuff you can do at home. So when I bought my Mac, I bought a digital video camera. And now, it's simple. Plug in the FireWire to the Mac, plug it into the digital video camera, open iMovie, click import, and it all goes on. My name's Andy Skoronski, and I'm a cop.
Hello, and welcome to Hulkcast, the best 30 plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. Join me today when not cranking out best-selling Apple books. You might find him pillaging the dumpsters around Colt Tobacco World headquarters, looking for chairs, speakers, and every once in a while, lunch. Leander Caney is here. Also with us, he keeps watch at the dumpsters so the trash truck doesn't come and haul off Leander Caney. Lewis Wallace is here.
That's correct. I'm going to work up a system of hand signals or something.
Well, he's also pointing out the best lunch spots, too. Like, yeah, over in that corner. Oh,
yeah. You catch that sandwich?
Yeah,
looks
right.
Fresh. Grab it. You guys are a team. What a team you guys are. Oh, boy, we got a dense show here. I don't even think we're going to make it through all this stuff. There's just no way. Look at all this stuff. I'm looking through all these notes, and we're just not going to have time. Leander has to take off early because he's going to a Who concert where he's going to watch. Who's the lead singer of The Who? I forgot his name.
Roger
already.
Daltrey.
You're going to watch what Daltrey?
Yeah.
Daltrey?
Roger Daltrey.
You're going to watch him come out on stage with his electric guitar and his walker and shred some licks from your past.
He's going to do some, some whirling, twirling the microphone. And I'm hoping Pete Townsend's going to jump up in the air and kick his legs like he used to when he was
and
22.
Then be hauled off to a stretcher with a serious groin injury. I want to see David Lee Roth pull one of those off. I wonder if he still can. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
David Lee Roth still jumps a little bit.
I saw him in an interview recently. He was looking pretty good.
Yeah. I saw him a few years ago, and, it's definitely not the way it was in the past. I mean, the guy used to be like a freaking gymnast, and it's kind of sad now, it's like, oh, gee, he jumped, it's like if I jumped in the air, that's how he jumps now.
Yeah.
An inch off the ground?
Yeah. I'd say he was about a foot off.
An inch. It's like when I jump, I get a full 2 inches off the ground.
Clearance!
And on my way back down, I just know I have a trip to the emergency room coming my way. Okay. Well, let's see here. Oh, yeah. So many Apple stories. We're going to talk about Mac OS Catalina. Oh, here's a surprise story for you. A surprise of the week. It turns out that Apple's AR glasses could be coming in the next 6 months, according to this story. And we have a reliable source telling us it's on the way. So who knows? We'll tell you what we know so far. And we got to talk about this Final Cut Pro 10 update that just came out. There's some huge improvements that have been made to Final Cut Pro 10. I know not everyone who listens to the show uses Final Cut Pro 10. I use it a lot. I love it. And hopefully we can start talking about it a little bit more as I'm developing my skill set in it and I have more of a foundation to understand updates and how things are changing. So we'll touch on that. And a great update just came our way for a feature that I've been dying for in iOS 13. It just landed, so we'll talk all about it. Just you wait. Before we dive into the show, let me give a quick thanks to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. Hiring the right person, it takes time that you don't have. But you shouldn't let a time crunch get in the way of finding the right candidates for your business. That's why LinkedIn is the best place to post your job. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills you're looking for so you can hire the right person fast. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability, survivability. Well, I threw that one in because that one's important to me. I want to make sure they can survive in the wild. LinkedIn looks beyond the work. You never know when you're going to need that skill.
Right, yeah, key skill.
LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and connects you with the candidates who match your business perfectly. These skills, qualifications, and other insights help LinkedIn paint a better picture of potential candidates. That's how LinkedIn can make sure your job post gets in front of the people that you want to hire. It's no wonder great candidates are hired every 8 seconds on LinkedIn. Here's what I know. Everybody I know finds jobs on LinkedIn now. Everyone I know uses it, and they don't even have to apply for jobs half the time because these recruiters are finding them. and they're landing these great jobs. It's the new way to get a job. So if you're looking for a huge, well, probably the largest batch of candidates to go after, put your job in front of, LinkedIn Jobs is the way to do it. Find the right person meant for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want, and the first $50 is on them. Visit LinkedIn.com/cultcast. That's LinkedIn.com/cultcast to get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, let's dive right into Mac OS Catalina. It's out. You probably have installed it. I haven't yet, and I'll tell you why in just a sec. But let's talk about some of the marquee features. First up, it makes some huge changes to the iTunes app by divvying up some of its functions into new apps for music, TV, and podcasts. Apple also completely redesigned the Reminders app, similar to the one in iOS 13. Here's a cool feature. If your Mac has a T2 security chip, and if you have a new Mac, you have this, you're getting activation lock to protect it from thieves. So this is similar to what your iPhone has. So if someone steals it, they can't do anything with it because they can't unlock it or get into it or wipe it. And another major feature, Sidecar, is it allows you to use a iOS 13 installed iPad as a second screen. So now you can set up your second screen, or you can set up your iPad as a second screen, and you can use it for your Final Cut Pro 10 video monitor, or you can use it with Logic. This opens up a whole host of uses for your iPad and turns something that oftentimes isn't really used for work into something that you may actually use all the time, especially if you're traveling, and a super useful feature. One of the other things I wanted to mention, though, is people are having issues with Mac OS Catalina breaking stuff, as every major update does, which is why I'm not installing it. In fact, Adobe has warned that you probably should hold off on installing it if you rely heavily on Adobe, because there are plugins being installed. They're not quite sure about the compatibility with some of the Adobe suite. So as with any production machine, you just want to wait a while, which is why I'm holding off. I got to put out a podcast every week. I'm trying to get work done. I can't just go willy-nilly installing the newest operating system. I usually have to wait, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, maybe a month before things improve and get stable.
Settle down. You're going to wait for the first big update, big bug fix release?
I'm going to try to.
I was so close to installing it this morning.
I'm right shocked before, that you didn't, quite honestly, yeah.
Right before. I was going to install the beta, but I haven't actually learned my lesson, but, you know, I was going to, for some reason I held off on this one on my iMac here on work, so I haven't been running the beta.
This is the first time I can recall that you actually did install
beta
right away and have it break absolutely everything.
Like you said, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I just, you know, I think, you know, after 10 years of making the same dumb mistake year in and year out, you know, I think I finally tweaked to it. It wasn't worth it.
And this new OS, it drops support for a lot of older apps that don't have the right architecture. Yeah. So people are complaining that their old apps have suddenly stopped working. And what are you going to do if you can't get those apps on your new OS? You're just kind of SOL. So particularly if you're using old apps that haven't been updated in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, Aperture is one of the big ones, right?
Aperture is one of the big ones.
Yeah.
Is anyone still using Aperture?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't work any longer.
That one's been gone for a while. I do have to say, though, Aperture was great. I really liked that app a lot. I was sad that that Apple killed it.
Yeah.
Lewis, I know you have it installed, and you said it's been pretty uneventful for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had zero problems. Of course, I'm not exactly a Mac power user. I don't use, you know, a ton of apps. I didn't even bother to check to see if all the apps were compatible, because I basically use, you know, web browsers and the built-in apps and a couple things. I mean, that's it. Nothing that, like, oh my God, if this app goes away, I can't use it. We do have a story on the site about how you can check to see which of your apps are going to work in Catalina. So you should toss that in the show notes. People can
If you're not, I see that link there. It's
all
right
about
there. I see it.
You know, it just doesn't support 32-bit apps. So if there's not a 64-bit version, then it ain't gonna work on this. So, but yeah, I mean, it's weird. I've noticed hardly any difference at all. I mean, I took a brief spin through the new music and Apple TV and podcasts apps, and you know, they look good. I think it's probably better than the old way it was. And but you know, literally no problems. As I said, the only thing that I wasted some time trying to use and got completely frustrated with was there's this new you know, better voice control thing that they've got in there, and I started trying to use that yesterday, and I probably spent an hour trying to get that to work. And I finally just gave up. It's like, oh, this is pointless.
That was in where? In what? What was that?
It's called Voice Control. And it's, I remember when they demoed this WWDC, I think it was. And it's like, oh, wow, this looks really powerful. It looks like it's going to be, you know, the way Dragon Naturally Speaking works. And you know, this is my, literally the very first time I tried it. And I just messed around with it for a little while and didn't get much of anywhere with it. So, you know, maybe I just need to spend a little more time with it, but
sounds like it, like several more hours.
Well,
probably days.
I don't know, man. I mean, I was putting the cursor in, you know, pages, and talking into it, and nothing was happening. Hmm. So explain that. And the same thing with different. I tried, you know, using it in Slack. Nothing happened at all. And yet, I would, you know, some of the commands worked, but. Not everything seemed very intuitive. I don't know. I'm not. It's not clear to me what I was doing wrong, or if it's just not ready for prime time, or what. But I'm super interested in that kind of software because I loved using Dragon Naturally Speaking way back in the day. And lately, my paws have been kind of hurting. So I thought it'd be great to be able to use that. You know, I was very excited, and then I was very disappointed.
You rolled through the music app. Any opinions about it? How is it?
You know, to be honest. I was using that last night to, you know, go through a set list and go through stuff. And I actually, like, I actually didn't even notice that it was new. I mean, it's obvious now that I look at what? It, you know. It's a lot like the tab of the music app was, or the music tab of iTunes was before, right? It's just it doesn't have all the other iTunes crap in there.
Right, so yeah.
I haven't actually, you know, like, I've had this installed for literally, like, a day, but it seems pretty similar.
It's so overdue. iTunes was becoming a big bloated turd, so I'm glad to see they were willing to kill the baby and split it out into three distinct apps, and they can start working on those apps individually, making them better for the specific type of content you're going to consume within those apps. I wanted to talk back about Sidecar. This could be a revolutionary new feature. I mean, it's the fact that you can use your iPad as a second screen, I just kind of touched on some of the things that you can do with it, being that you can use it to view video from Final Cut Pro, so you can have your iPad set up on your desk next to your MacBook Pro if you're traveling or something, and you can have all your controls, like your timeline and everything, on your Mac, and then have the actual video monitor on your iPad. That's pretty cool. But you can also use it to interact directly with your Mac with your Apple Pencil. So like in Illustrator, Adobe Illustrator, you can actually have the image open on your iPad and be making changes to the image on your iPad, and those and you're working on a file that's on your Mac. So it's like a tandem screen experience where you're getting to interact on your iPad and having those changes made on your Mac in real time. That kind of effect also works in Affinity Photo, a 3D modeling application called ZBrush. You could see this. You could see all sorts of applications for this because the iPad is such a great input device for, and the Apple Pencil for, photo retouching and illustration and stuff. Adobe Lightroom, I would be shocked if they didn't build in some type of sidecar support where you could be editing photos with your Apple Pencil on your iPad, but then having all those photos stored on your Mac, which is where people normally want to have them stored. This could be a huge, huge feature, and it's just getting started. So this is something I think they're probably going to iterate on and make even better as we move along and stuff. Sorry, Lena, were you going to say something?
No. It just like you said, I'm sure it's going to be really popular.
Oh, you're just agreeing with me. Okay, that was the best.
Is that why you were so shocked?
Those are my favorite kind of interruptions. So let's see here. Are there any other major features? I think we touched on all the biggest ones. Sidecar kind of being my personal favorite and stuff. So I can't wait to install it, but like I said, you know, I got to be responsible. I can't just go full LK as soon as the beta comes out and just install it and then have my podcasting experience stop working. But I'm really excited to get this thing moving. Speaking of going full LK, we got this next story come up. This one's all you, and I can't wait to kick back and hear the full LK experience on this story.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna give it.
Eye popping.
I'm gonna give it the full LK read. And so, like you said, yeah, this is kind of crazy. 6 months for the AR glasses, according to Ming-Chi Kuo, the most reliable, or in fact, the only reliable Apple analyst. Not always 100%, but this one is a pretty bold prediction. It was a note to investors that was shared with Mac Rumors. He says that Apple's first AR glasses will enter mass production as soon as the fourth quarter of this year, and they could arrive in early 2020. So they're going to be coming out of, you know, in the factories later this year. That seems kind of nuts. And it's going to be marketed as an iPhone accessory, and it's going to rely on the Apple iPhone for the computing and the networking and the sensors required for augmented reality. So this is, we talked about this before, didn't we, when there was some of the software that was found in iOS 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
The frameworks, and it was like it looked like it was going to switch between the phone and the glasses.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the frameworks, but
yeah, I mean, I do, but I don't want to tell you and just give it away. That'd be cheating.
Keep me in the cheating.
as I frantically go through the notes here, looking for the reference.
I'm excited. I mean, it's that sounds really, really amazing. I was looking at some of there's some AR games in Apple Arcade. And they look really, really kind of great.
Huh.
The experience is really amazing. I mean, there's so much groundwork that Apple's been laying in software and with all the AR software that they've been doing.
What I wonder, though. I wonder if the AR glasses are going to be a persistent device, something that they expect you to wear all the time, or is it going to be some type of accessory novelty item where you wear it when you want to watch a movie, you want to play an AR game, but then you take it off.
Yeah,
or is it going to be a full-time accessory, you know? Your second set of eyes that are always going to have that head-up display going and showing you information. I can't even imagine what are they going to do with this. There's no precedent for it.
Yeah, there's no way that I don't think they're going to expect anyone to wear these things all the time. Unless, you know, like it's for a specific, like you said, for a specific task, like for work, right? I mean, you know, I can imagine there's certain jobs in a warehouse, you know, an airplane mechanic, something like that, where you might wear these things all day, every day to do your job. But I don't think there's any way that they're going to expect you people to wear these things all the time. Although saying that, I mean, there's probably a bunch of different applications, though. I bet there's a whole bunch of applications for it. So you could if you wanted to. I mean, if you wanted to be a glass hole, full-time glass hole, I'm sure there's a lot of things you could do with it. But I'll bet, like you said, I bet you'll put it on if you're going to be playing a game, if there's a certain app you want to use, if there's like you want to watch some kind of like VR experience.
Oh, and speaking of games, I completely forgot to mention this. Mac OS Catalina includes Apple Arcade, so there's that too.
Oh,
if you
right.
Play games on your Mac, right? The other big feature, yeah. But if it's going to be only specific to certain situations, that seems too niche to me. Why would you buy some Apple goggles that you're only going to wear every once in a while? You know these things aren't going
to
be cheap.
They're going to expand it for sure, aren't they? And it's going to have a lot to do with developers and apps and. It's going to take a little while to take off and for the ecosystem to sort of, you know, expand and flesh it out and all the different. And I think Apple's very, you know, I think it's the way, the same way they launched the watch as an accessory to the iPhone, the same the way they launched the iPod as an accessory to the Mac. You know, they take these kind of baby steps and it's like, okay, you know, here's a couple of things it can do. Like the iPod, you know, is a great example, right? It just sucked all the songs off all the MP3s off your Mac and allowed you to take them with you. And you couldn't really use it without a Mac, right? It was completely useless without it. And eventually it became a standalone device and super sophisticated. So I think, it'll at first be, you know, kind of limited. And that's probably a good idea because it won't be too overwhelming. It'll have some very clear use cases. And then it'll fill out and become more sophisticated, maybe even a standalone device in a few years.
That's the roadmap right there.
Right.
That's the roadmap right there. And I hope it has two really powerful 5G radios right next to my brain, beaming 5G, you know, through my brain and then to the iPhone. I mean, what could that possibly do to your brain besides just make you smarter?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mode.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. If you guys thought I'd like to wear tinfoil hats.
I know, I was going to say, we should start a whole line of Cult of Mac tinfoil hats.
5G
could be,
wear.
Could they be aluminum foil?
Yeah, anything that's made out of metal will probably
aluminium,
be fine.
You mean?
Yeah, that's what he meant to say. I mean, anything that will reflect the 5G waves, you know, away from your away from your brainstem is probably a good thing. Every time you put on your Apple AR goggles, you're gonna wonder why you just peed your pants. You're not gonna be able to figure it out. Back to the use case. Not to beat a dead horse here, but since there is no precedent for something like this, a watch, watches exist. People know what to do with a watch, but AR spectacles, there really is not. There's not a precedent. No one has really figured out what to do with this. There are some popular models that are out there, but even those have limited utility, and the creators are still trying to figure out exactly what the uses are for them. So I'm really looking forward to see Big TC come out on stage in his One More Thing to reveal these AR goggles. I was reading somebody yesterday say these could be revealed at the October event, which I don't think is going to happen. But it's certainly possible if they're going to reveal them or release them in the next 6 months or so. It's possible. I mean, they said, Ming-Chi Kuo said Q2 2020, which is, you know, I mean, what, 6 to 8 months away. So I want to see what Apple says is the main hook. What's going to get you to buy these things? There's going to have to be some really killer demos.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I can't imagine they're doing. I mean, if they do an October event, surely it's going to have to revolve around, you know, it will revolve around this one product, right? I mean, it, otherwise it's going to overshadow everything. And like you said, it's probably too. If they're going to launch it in the spring, then probably, you know, would they do a spring event?
Yeah, or maybe at WWDC to unleash. Yeah. Let's see here. AROS is probably what they'll call it. You know, whatever OS they have.
I thought the rumor was ROS for Reality OS.
Oh, that sounds even better. I'm telling you, Lewis, he's got him. He should be working for Apple's marketing team. Okay, let's see here. Moving on to Apple's services business. You're probably wondering, they have all these different services now. You're paying a single fee to use every single one. You're tired of getting nickel and dimed. Am I right, Lewis?
You need a deal. So tired of getting, it's more like getting five and tenned.
That marketing phrase.
Five and ten.
Not as good as your other ones. I'm getting five and ten. Yeah. Not as high quality as your other ones, but I'm going to let it slide because you've been on a roll. You know?
I was going to say. So isn't that the same? Does five and ten is the same as nickel and dime? Isn't it, you know?
Well, I was trying to think
exactly
of
the same.
It's a higher denomination. Well,
I was trying to think of the shorthand words for five spot and ten spot. What are they called? Sawbuck and I can't even remember. It's already too long.
And plus, the joke wouldn't work now anyway because we've been talking about it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty clear it's not a good one.
Yeah, this one's dead. Let's just move on.
DOA. All right. Yeah. So right now, as you know, if you're using any of these subscription services, you got to pay a certain amount each month, right? Apple Music, $10 a month. Apple TV Plus is going to be $5 a month. Although if you buy a new device, you're going to get a year for free. Apple News Plus, $10 a month. Apple Arcade, $5 a month. So, you know, the idea is that maybe Apple's going to come out with something like Apple Prime, some kind of bundle that would get you all of these things at a discount. Apple's reportedly mulling offering all these in a bundle. You know, the problem in the way that this came out, like the I mean, this has been conjectured for a while, right? But the latest like proof that something like this is, you know, that they're trying to pull this off is that having the music part of it in there, the negotiations with the record labels, they're like, hey, wait a minute. That's causing some problems. You know, record label executives are concerned that lowering the price of the subscription as part of a bundle would mean less money going to music producers. And, you know, that's the thing. Like all these old things, right? They've got all these. There's always been all these contract things with record labels, with Spotify and Apple. And Apple, I think, pays a higher percentage than competing services. But you know, nobody wants a slimmer piece of the pie. And this is the same problem we've heard people, some arcade developers, like, yeah, well, it's, you know, kind of great, but how am I actually going to make money off this? How big is my slice of this pie going to be? And same thing goes with news publishers. Everybody basically, there's no part of that except for the Apple TV part where they're not going to face this kind of problems of people going, hey, wait a minute, the pie just got a little smaller.
Well, they said the same things. The music industry is like, you know, I mean, it's run by these Yeah, they said the same thing about streaming revenues, right? But now streaming revenues aren't streaming. There wasn't a report earlier this year that streaming revenues are now bigger than, you know, any other revenue stream that the music industry's ever had.
Well, yeah, I mean, streaming won, but that doesn't mean they want to make less per stream. That doesn't mean they want less money, right? I mean, you know, I mean, think about how complicated all these payout systems have to be, right? I mean,
right, and a lot of forecasting, and I'm sure there's, you know, but it looks like this is, you know, the way that media is going to go. I mean, this is how, you know, these are their cash cows. So,
right. Well, I mean, the big question is like, what's the price and what's left over? I mean, so that's right now with all those things, it's about $30 a month. All right. Well, so how much are you going to make it, and how many more people are going to sign up for it? If you drop the price, right? So
right.
Let's just say you make it $25. Well, if you already got Apple TV Plus because you bought an iPhone, then that's already, you know, that's not a discount. If you make it $20, all right, well, then how do you split that chunk of money up? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all about volume. Would they be able to, how many more people would sign up at a lower price, right? I mean, that I suspect, I'm no businessman, but I think that's the way they'd look at it, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, they expand the pie, you know, so...
This is why Apple needs to screw trying to stream other people's music and start developing their own music, just like they did with Apple TV, the true Apple Music. Eddie Q, Christmas Classics, Tim Cook's
Dance Hits
rap album Extravaganza, you know? His first album, Hey Y'all, number one bestseller.
Hey,
that single's going straight to the top.
Yeah, the number one single is Gobble Gobble.
Gobble Gobble, Y'all is going to be this Thanksgiving's biggest Thanksgiving theme song. If there was Thanksgiving, do they have Thanksgiving theme songs? Not yet. Wait till Apple's marketing team gets a hold of that song. Gobble Gobble, Y'all is going straight to the top. That's all I got to tell you guys. It's going to be the number one stream song on Apple Music.
I can't wait for them to start making their own music.
I can't either. It's going to be some very good stuff. So that's got to be the strategy going forward. It's the only way they're going to be able to get rid of themselves of all these greedy music executives who don't want to give them, you know, 95% of all the revenue that they make from streaming other people's music. Lewis, Apple Prime. Prime price. What's the price that's going to get Lewis's goatee moist?
Well, that's the thing I keep wondering. I mean, what would it take? I mean, honestly, I don't know that I need any of these things except for Apple Music. Apple News, I mean, I had it for a while, but I read so much news every day anyway. It's like, Apple Arcade, I'm not a gamer. Apple TV, I'm going to get it because I, you know, so literally it would have to be less than $10 to be a bargain.
I'm guessing they're going to go in real low. They shocked us with Apple TV Plus, and Apple has complete control over Apple TV Plus, over Apple, well, maybe not Apple News as
no,
much.
No, absolutely
they're
not.
Selling other people's
the
stuff.
Only one they have control over is Apple TV and like iCloud, if they throw in iCloud.
I mean, Apple Arcade, I would argue as well, since they all the games are exclusive to that platform, and they have complete distribution rights.
Yeah, right, okay.
So if it's $4.99 a month for Apple TV Plus, $10 for Apple Music, $10 for Apple News. So $30 a month for all the services. I think they're going to go $20 a month. How does that sound, Lewis?
You know, I mean, at 20, it would be tempting to me because I would get Apple Music and Apple News. And I kind of, even though I never used it very much, I like the idea of supporting Apple News. I like the idea of having it. Apple Arcade, though, to me,
never
is
actually read it.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a gamer, so.
But that's the thing is if they lower it to a level where you're paying for one or two services that you'd probably be paying for anyway, and then they basically are giving you the other services for free, that seems like a pretty sound strategy to me.
Yeah, and you know maybe then I guess I would actually join Apple Arcade if it was included in this bundle for free.
Yeah,
I would sign up, and then they'd have one more, you know, quote unquote registered user, which is good, but I.
Yeah. Plus, you'd probably get access to Tim Cook's exclusive Apple Music album before anyone else.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's worth some money.
You know, in this case, I'm definitely not the typical user, right? I mean, a lot of people play games. A lot of people don't read news all day long at their job. And so want to subscribe to the news.
I would say more people read games than read news. Or play games. Yeah. Play games than read news, you know? Anyway, let's move on to this Final Cut Pro 10 business. I don't want to talk about this for too long, but I thought that this Final Cut Pro update that just came out was pretty interesting. And if you use Final Cut Pro 10, or you've thought about using Final Cut Pro 10, it's a great application. So streamlined and easy to use, and it makes editing an absolute dream. They just had an update come out that I think is primarily aimed towards getting the application ready for the Mac Pro, since that is literally right around the corner. But it does some other stuff too. So the big marquee feature is the new Metal engine that they have included in the optimizations that they made to the application. And it's supposed to bring about some really big speed increases. Now, they added this engine to Motion and Compressor too. And the new engine accelerates playback and graphics intensive stuff like rendering, real-time effects, and exporting on compatible machines. Apple says that this update will make Final Cut Pro 10 up to 20% faster. 20% faster. That's no laughing matter, Lewis.
That is
on a 15-inch MacBook Pro, well, the newest one. No one's laughing at that. And 35% faster on an iMac Pro. You better not laugh. If I hear you laugh, I'm taking off my glove and I'm slapping you with it. And that's not all you get in the update. They also added sidecar support. So now you can put the Final Cut Pro video viewer onto a iPad running iOS 13 and use it as a second screen, which is super duper handy. I saw a lot of people making noise about that one feature alone, people that do a lot of video editing and stuff, saying how cool it is to be able to use that when you are traveling and stuff. And then also, you may not have known, but using external GPUs was kind of a pain in the ARSE with Final Cut Pro and some other applications, with the computer just not engaging the external GPU for graphics intensive tasks. And now Final Cut Pro 10 includes a feature where you can select which graphic which graphics card you want to use for graphics processing. So if you have some super expensive, high powered external GPU that Final Cut Pro never used before, which actually strangely was kind of common, now you can select that external GPU and have that really expensive external GPU used for all the graphics processing, which is why you bought it. So that's going to be, well, potentially a really big speed increase just right there. So now Final Cut Pro 10 knows which graphics card you want to use.
Isn't this weird that Apple keeps making stuff faster? I mean, isn't this a weird trend? I mean, they release software and it works faster than the last version. I mean, all my life, each version gets slower, right? And it bogs down older machines, but they keep making it faster.
Well, Apple's been doing that for a little while, hasn't it? I mean, they've done this a few times. Or they, you know, they say, right, with the iOS, what was it, iOS 12?
They for sure said it was 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Where they focused on just making it more efficient and faster, yeah.
It's just odd. I mean, it just seems like a reversal of the way things have always worked. I don't know, whatever. Sorry to interrupt your Spotify.
I think it's kind of, I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but it is nice when it does happen, and I love it when they take an application and make it faster or add new features and you weren't even expecting them to do that. That makes it feel like Christmas. It's one of the things I love that Apple does. But moving on to iOS 13. So thank you for taking me on that tangent, Lewis.
Thank you for accommodating me.
Of course, anytime. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you when I'm ready.
My arm was getting tired.
Okay? iOS 13, Spotify, the feature that I've been waiting for forever was the ability to control Spotify with Siri. Well, that feature has finally landed. I don't want to say it too loud here, actually. All my devices start paying attention to me. iOS 13 has a new Siri Kit API that lets third-party streaming music services take advantage of the virtual assistant for the first time ever. So Spotify just came out with an update, and they added support for Siri. So now you can ask Siri to play artists, albums, tracks, and playlists after updating to the newest version of Spotify, that is. You just simply have to add with Spotify to your Siri request. So H-E-Y, Siri, play Jurassic Park from Spotify. I wonder if this works on the HomePod. They say that it does. Should we try it real fast?
Let's hear it.
It probably doesn't work on HomePod. It probably is going to pick this up on my iPhone. Should we try? Hey Siri, play Jurassic Park from Spotify.
I'll need to access your Spotify data to do this. Is that okay?
Yes. Can you guys
now
hear?
Now playing Jurassic Park by John Williams from Spotify.
I'll be.
Wow. Live without a net. And what do you know?
It's doing it.
Siri didn't fumble.
Although, I don't know if this is the right. Oh no, this is the start of the album. You're kidding me! It actually worked. I can hardly believe what I'm hearing.
I don't think I've ever heard it say, "I need to access your data. Is that okay?" And you say yes, and it works.
Me either. Let's try it again. Let's see. So now that I granted it access, I wonder if it's going to ask me for that again. Hey Siri, play John Williams music from Spotify. Oh, it didn't work. Hey Siri.
I can't play.
No, my HomePods and my iPhone are competing with each other right now. They both keep trying to activate. Let's see. Let's try this again. Hey Siri, play John Williams from Spotify. Weird. So my...
One moment.
Oh.
Did it work?
Let's see if it works. My HomePod is... The orb is... It said one moment. And then a few seconds later, it said, let's see. And then it just stopped working entirely.
Siri.
So I guess it was going to work. So what I'm curious about is whether or not this will work on my HomePod. It works on my iPhone, but I don't know if you can tell HomePod to play music from Spotify directly, which is my dream. Cool. I think you have to do it through the iPhone and then use AirPlay to connect to the HomePods.
Oh, so that first thing was the iPhone?
So I'm going to try one more time.
Turn the iPhone upside down. Turn, you know, put it face down.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that's not going to work, but let's try. Hey Siri, play Jurassic Park from Spotify. It's thinking.
I can't play it from Spotify.
Oh, it can't play it from Spotify. So you do do it from your iPhone. You just taught me a trick I didn't know, that you can put your iPhone face down if you don't want it to listen.
Yeah, it's and if you, for instance, raise your phone, then supposedly, if you raise it, that means that's what you want to take the command. That's how it handles HomePod versus phone, right? That's the biggest great and horrible thing about the HomePod is that its ears are so good that, you know, no matter what you're doing, it can hear it, and oftentimes it's not what you're wanting to do. So it's kind of like with Apple Watch, you know? Raise to wake, same thing with iPhone. Pull it up and talk to it.
Okay, I'm trying this one more time. Okay, ready? And then we're going to wrap up the show. This is going to be the final moment, the grand finale. Are you guys ready? Can we, let me see here. Do I have any sound effects I can use to make this moment more
real
captivating?
Special.
Let's see here. I've got this one.
Ma, the meatloaf!
I don't think that does it, though. Maybe this one. This one's probably more apropos. Okay, maybe not. All right, let's try one last time. Hey Siri, play John Williams from Spotify.
Now playing this is John Williams from Spotify.
There you go. It doesn't ask you for that the second time.
On the phone?
Yes. Okay. Man, how cool. So it does work. So you can finally control your Spotify playlist or your Spotify music from your Apple. Like, I'm trying to talk and play with my phone at the same time. It's probably not working. So you can now control Spotify from your phone with Siri. That's really cool. I'm going to use that all the time. There was one other thing I was going to add, and it was a really good point, but I can't remember. It's just gone forever.
I wonder why it wouldn't work with HomePod. There's no reason for it not to work. It might be that you have to dig into the settings somewhere. I mean, I wonder if you can set Spotify as your main... You know, I'm sure you can.
You can't.
Huh? No?
No, you can't. You can't. No? That's been my gripe. Because you can do that with the other streaming devices that are out there, like the Echo. You can set Spotify as the main streaming service, and then when you talk about music, it just goes to Spotify. But with the HomePod, you can't. Which, I get why Apple does it, but I also think it's a huge mistake. They're trying to position... They're trying to leave the walled garden in some areas, right? Like with services, like they want to make these, like some of their services like Apple Music available on whatever platform that you're using. But with the HomePod, if they're trying to sell this to anybody, they need to give you access to common services that you may use and not just the services that Apple sells. You know what I'm saying? Because that really limits the capability of the device, in my humble opinion.
I agree.
You know, especially if you don't use Apple Music. It's like, and people always ask me, I remembered my original point. People always ask me, why don't you use Apple Music? I just like Spotify better. Well, I think Spotify's interface is better.
Yeah, what do you like?
I like the discovery features better. Well,
people always say the playlist
better.
Right, playlist and discovery, yeah. But I tried it, and I thought it didn't really float my boat.
Comparable. I also like that I can see what my friends are doing on Spotify, so I can see what other people are playing. It just has a lot of cool community features built in. I don't use those as much these days, but I do like the discovery feature a lot. And then just also the app and the UI and stuff. I just like it. Apple Music, it feels really sterile to me. I don't know what it is about that service. It feels like you're going into a hospital.
And Spotify, Spotify feels different, huh?
Yeah, Spotify kind of feels like a cool, hip hookah lounge. You know, it's like, oh, hey, give me some of that peach tobacco. Jeez. All your friends are there and... You know, Rachel and Ross are there, and it's a place that you want to hang out. And, oh, look, there's Gunther. Oh, man, he's crazy. He's looking at Rachel again. And then you go into Apple Music, and it's like, oh, hey. Did you come here for your colonoscopy? You know?
Is that bad? I don't think it's that bad. It's not really that bad. God.
And Bob Mansfield comes out in his like medical gear and his mask on. And I'm like, I'm not feeling this, Bob. And he's like, okay.
I just found the first thing that doesn't work in Catalina. I can't get Spotify to load. Isn't that nutty?
Well, we'll have to save that update for next week.
Yeah, you could just cut that whole last part of me staring at my thing being confused.
I was going to say, this was not riveting podcasting.
Not a great ending. Go out with a whimper.
I'm going to edit that into something magical.
Oh, no. And,
people are going to they're going to be wildly entertained for sure. But
great.
Before things get any weirder, let's just go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come reach out on Twitter, just say hi. Maybe tell us about an Apple store you want us to talk about next week. We would love to hear from you. I'm at Airfond Leaders, at L. Kinney. Lewis is at Lewis Walsh. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you, governors, next time. Tally ho, old bean.
Excellent little wrinkle there, a little twist.
Thank you. Did I remind you of your school days?
Not really.
Your cheerio, old bean.
No.
Cheerio, Leander.
No, no one talks like that.
Well, Lewis can hear me.
Am I really loud?
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
Hold on, let me fix.
I think I just heard a bum fart outside.
What?
I think I just heard a bum's flatulence outside. I know, it's really great.
Well, they had all kinds of stuff going on here. They were power washing right outside the window earlier.
Oh, good.
So that was luckily that's ended. And there was there's rolling blackouts all throughout the Bay Area.
What?
Who said that?
I said that. What?
Yeah, so they're actually shutting down power. It's crazy.
Why? What, do you live in Venezuela?
Wildfires. Yeah, Venezuela. They're trying to save a bit of money. Wildfires. They don't want... PG&E doesn't want its equipment setting fire to the state, so...
It doesn't want what?
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't want its equipment setting fire to shit. There's like a big wind event. Super hot, dry, windy weather coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own 15
miles an hour.
Well, 15.
It could be.
You guys better bolt down your cars and.
So they're shutting off power. This is insane. But you know that this is how they deal with it.
I don't understand why would they need to shut off their equipment? How does that contribute to the fire in any way?
If they haven't trimmed the trees back, and there's like, you know, there's it touches a tree,
like a power line or something.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that could happen.
Well, it's shit like that, or a bird flies into it and creates a lot of sparks or something. I don't know, you know?
That's what caused last giant fire up in Sonoma County last year, was they ended up saying that it was because of downed power lines.
Oh.
And so,
I thought you were going to say it was because a bird flew into a power line and burst out into flames and landed in like a wheat field or something.
Well, right.
That would be the most epic wildfire ever created.
That does happen, but I saw a video the other day of this fucking helicopter cutting back trees from these huge pylons. You know those? You know the massive pylons that go, you know, across like fields and mountains and shit. So it was like that, but there was like a line of trees next to it, and they had all of these rotating blades on a long pole.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I saw that same video.
It was
fucking
insane.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of shit they're doing.
Huh.
But apparently they haven't been doing this for years. Like, for years and years, they haven't been cutting back the vegetation against their power lines. And, you know, like Lewis said, last year, I mean, it was devastating fires. Now the company's bankrupt. I mean, they just declared bankruptcy.
Whoa.
So there's going to be, like, hot, windy weather, which is, like, perfect fire weather.
Oh, yeah.
And they're afraid that it's going to... To prevent them setting off fires, they're shutting off electricity to about... How many customers is it, Lewis?
I don't know. 250,000 or something like that?
Yeah, hundreds of thousands. 250,000 or something
Gavin
like that.
Gavin Newsom's probably excited. It's going to minimize climate change.
Angry Gavin!
Well, I heard that big giant helicopter blade is also used for other things as well. Like, I heard that Buster uses it to get ready for bathing suit season.
Trimming his beard.
and
his back hair, right? Because he can't reach back there. So
lower the saw, boys.